Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Together.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Sanirikshyam Bhare Devam.
Sanirikshyam Bhare Devam.
Hamsavaham Upasthitam.
Hamsavaham Upasthitam.
Nanama Shirasa Bhumo.
Nanama Shirasa Bhumo.
Tadarshana Mahotsava.
Tadarshana Mahotsava.
Translation: seeing Lord Brahma present before him in the sky, carried by his swan airplane, Hiranyakashipu was extremely pleased. He immediately fell flat with his head on the ground and began to express his obligation to the Lord. Purport: Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, we'll go to the English, whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. I am the only enjoyer and the only object of sacrifice. Those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. In effect, Krishna says, persons engaged in the worship of demigods are not very intelligent, although such worship is indirectly offered to me. For example, when a man pours water on the leaves and branches of a tree without pouring water on the root, he does so without sufficient knowledge or without observing regulative principles. The process of watering a tree is to pour water on the root. Similarly, the process of rendering service to different parts of the body is to supply food to the stomach. The demigods are, so to speak, different officers and directors in the government of the Supreme Lord. One has to follow the laws made by the government, not by the officers or directors. Similarly, everyone is to offer his worship to the Supreme Lord only. That will automatically satisfy the different officers and directors of the Lord. The officers and directors are engaged as representatives of the government, and to offer some bribe to the officers and directors is illegal. This is stated in Bhagavad Gita as avidhi purvakam. In other words, Krishna does not approve the unnecessary worship of the demigods. So this is a very helpful analogy about the government. If you go to, or at least in maybe like 20 years ago, if you went to Russia, for instance, you could, like when the devotees were going there, they could give bribes to the police officers to make their way through customs or through through a toll booth or something. And the country kind of runs on how you're able to negotiate with those police officers, like if you're able to barter with them and give them an extra tip, and you get your what you need. But that kind of situation is considered very corrupt and very dangerous. So similarly, Krishna is the supreme person, and all these demigods are working under him, and therefore going through them is this analogy is very relevant. So I'll just read one more paragraph here. In Bhagavad Gita, it's clearly stated that there are many types of yajna performances recommended in the Vedic literatures, but actually all of them are meant for satisfying the Supreme Lord. Yajna means Vishnu. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that one should work only for satisfying yajna or Vishnu. So we perform a yajna, and Vishnu's name is also yajna. It's kind of interesting. The perfectional form of human civilization, known as Varnashram Dharma, is specifically meant for satisfying Vishnu. Therefore, Krishna says, I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices because I am the supreme master. However, less intelligent persons, without knowing this fact, worship demigods for temporary benefit. Therefore, they fall down to material existence and do not achieve the desired goal of life. If, however, anyone has any material desire to be fulfilled, he had better pray for it to the Supreme Lord, although that is not pure devotion, and he will thus achieve the desired result. And then later in the purport, Prabhupada quotes that verse, that a person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desires, free from material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. So, with the demigods, what usually happens, especially, we don't have, I don't know, in the West, we don't really have an equivalent to demigods, unless someone can think of, is there, besides our celebrities, maybe. Yeah, our celebrities. But in India, demigod worship is very common amongst almost everyone, that they at least know about it, whether they do it or not. And if you go to a Hindu temple, you'll see many, many pictures of like all the gods. I was thinking what our relationship with the demigods is, like as devotees of Krishna, what is our relationship? I'll first share a few instances where the demigods come up in the stories with devotees and how devotees interact with them. So, although Vishnu is, we wouldn't consider Vishnu a demigod, most Hindus would consider Vishnu a demigod. Vishnu, Shiva, and Brahma, right? The three of them. So in the story where Krishna left the gopis in the forest, later on he appeared in his four-armed form. Do you remember that? He wanted to see what would happen. So he came in his four-armed form as Vishnu. And at that time, the gopis immediately paid their respects and they were really respectful to him. But they didn't get distracted long. They immediately said, "Where can we find Krishna?" So this is an example of our relationship with the demigods, is that we have a lot of respect for them as servants of Krishna, and being in Krishna's, especially like Vishnu's office, so to speak, like as directors and officers of the universe. And we can also feel gratitude towards them for running things that we're experiencing in our lives, like the weather and different things, and our bodies. At the same time, our focus is on Krishna. So another example would be where the gopis were praying to have Krishna as their husband. And who were they praying to? Katyayani, yes, goddess Katyayani, who is the one who, I guess, young ladies would pray to for a husband. So they were praying to her, but for Krishna again. So, and then a more current example that I thought of is if we're about to go out on Harinam Sankirtan, for instance, and the weather looks dark, I've seen devotees that have said a little prayer, like, "My dear Lord Indra, I really want to serve Krishna. Can you please keep the weather under control?" And when I was actually in
I haven't tried that yet.
For Krishna lunch, yeah. When I was in Poland for, they have this festival of India on the Baltic Sea Coast, which is a festival run by Indrajumna Swami, and they hold programs to introduce Krishna consciousness to the people of Poland. This is the 30th anniversary, actually. So it's been going 30 years. So I went a few summers, and there were definitely days where, because they do Harinam for hours before the festival to distribute the flyers and advertise. And then there's this big event for 1 week, which is the Polish Woodstock Festival. And I remember that Indrajumna Swami was giving a talk before the festival. And he was saying that the demigods really appreciate the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. And so, therefore, we can actually, in situations like that where the weather is so important, you can pray, like, "My dear devotees of Krishna, please help us as much as possible, sending a good situation so that we can do our Sankirtan well." So that was something that I thought of. Any other thoughts on our relationship with the demigods? Yeah.
Are all demigods devotees?
they're all servants of Krishna, but they're not necessarily all 100% pure devotees, if I understand correctly. So there might be some that are more mixed in their like spiritual. Definitely, they all believe in Krishna. They all worship Krishna.
Just to give an example of what came to mind was that almost on a daily basis we're seeing Devans or something, yes, that were offering our respects to Radhasar Sati, absolutely, and to help us.
Yeah.
But first, we're offering our respects to Narayan, so we were sadly about it.
Yeah.
But to help us learn about.
Yeah, that's a good point in that verse that we sing before Bhagavatam. And also, what are two other songs during a typical Hare Krishna day that are connected to demigods?
Evening Aarti,
yes. Shiva Sukana Radha Preme Gada Gada, right? What's another one? One more. And it's a bit more tricky. It's in the morning. Yes, Govindam prayers. So that is spoken, those prayers are spoken by who?
Lord Brahma.
So every day we're actually reciting these prayers by one of the demigods for Lord Krishna. And actually, it's very interesting because do you remember how Brahma poured the water over Hiranyakashipu and then this description of how his body became like so strong that he could bear the striking of a thunderbolt and it became beautiful? If someone was reading this that didn't have an awareness of who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you could think, wow, Brahma has the ability to revive and to rejuvenate someone. And a lot of people, because he's the creator of the universe, a lot of people, especially in India, think that Brahma is the supreme person, the divine being, that like God, basically. So So what's interesting is in the Govinda prayers, the Brahma Samhita, so Brahma appeared from a lotus flower from Vishnu's navel, and then he recited all these prayers of glorification to Krishna. And let's go through that. So what is Govindam? What does Adipurusham mean?
Original person.
So here is someone who is the original person of this universe, glorifying the original person, like the ultimate supreme person in that prayer. Adipurusham. Tamaham Bhajami. What does that mean?
Worship.
So tam is?
You.
To you. Aham?
I.
Bhajami?
Worship.
To worship. So that the prayer is actually becoming really popular. And I don't know if any of you have seen that on Facebook, that video of Will Smith's daughter singing that with the guitar. The Govinda Adipurusham. And I looked at it this morning to see how many views, or 500,000 views on that video. So how would you all like to sing it? When I was growing up, when we would go traveling, my father would sing this tune a lot, and I think it's from the 70s. I don't know who wrote the tune, but it goes like this, and then you can just repeat it. So it goes, Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Brahma is a great devotee of Krishna, and even when sometimes the demigods get confused in the pastimes, like in the story where Brahma stole all the boys and calves, and then that whole pastime that happened, at the end he's offering these beautiful prayers to Krishna, saying, "You're the ultimate supreme personality of Godhead, and I'm your servant." And there, that happens with several demigods throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam to remind us that we are, that the demigods are not to be, we're not to get distracted and think, wow, they have so much power. You know how people, when someone can do a mystic power, people really get excited and they think they're God, especially in India again, possibly here. So there's this video of Tamal Krishna Maharaj is giving a lecture, and there's a person in the video, so he's asking people what their version of who they think is the supreme personality of God, right? And there's like an altar with all these pictures. And he says, "Who here on this altar do you think?" And it's in Fiji, so it's mostly an Indian audience. And the answers vary from like Brahma, Shiva, Krishna, Vishnu. And then one person raises his hand and says, "Sai Baba." And this is earlier in the clip, but then Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, "Why?" So he's asking, what's your reference point? Like, why do you believe that? And the person says, "Oh, because he'll give you gold. He'll make it manifest, and then he'll give it to you, basically for free. He'll give you gold." And then the other thing that he says is that he can cure the sick. So if you come to him with cancer, he can cure you. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, "Well, hospitals can also cure you." So he's like, you know, kind of defeating him. And throughout the lecture, he repeatedly shows why this is not enough for a person to be God. Just because, well, the man started by saying, "Oh, because he's present on Earth right now." And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "Well, we're all present on Earth right now. So that's not a good, you know," so like he was kind of defeating the logic of it. And it's a very interesting lecture. You can look it up. It's called God, Demigods, and Incarnations. Yeah. And it was a film made by ITV, ISKCON TV. So it's quite old. But they show the audience members and they show him explaining why Krishna is the ultimate supreme personality of Godhead and the role of the other demigods. So it's really interesting. So this part, he tells the story about how the four-headed Brahma, who thought he was the most important, goes to see Krishna and in Dwarka, and then Krishna says, "Which Brahma?" Because there's so many universes, right? So that's a title. Brahma is a title. So then he is humbled by seeing all the other Brahmas with all their heads. There's one more important point in the purport that I wanted to just mention here. If anyone has any material desire to be fulfilled, he had better pray for it to the Supreme Lord, although that is not pure devotion, between brackets, and he will thus achieve the desired result. So it's interesting how even if we have material desires, we can go to Krishna with them. We don't have to. What Krishna is saying is, "I'm here and available for everyone who approaches me." You don't have to go to Saraswati to pass your exam. You don't have to go to Ganesh to make sure your house gets sold or whatever, you know, like different things. You can go to Krishna even if your heart is full of material desires, because by going to Krishna, those material desires start to become purified. Your heart becomes washed of those material desires by approaching Krishna. So that's why Krishna is so generous that he says, even if you don't really care about me, but you want to just, you know, you have some other desire to enjoy the material world, still come to me with them, and Krishna will take care of it. Whether he takes care of it by giving you the money or by taking it all away, either way, it's ultimately helping us. It ultimately brings us closer to Krishna. So that's the, yes.
In that regard, Prabhupada tells a story about a thief who was hearing about Krishna and with all his beautiful ornaments. So he said, "I'm going to go to Vrindavan and I'm going to rob this little boy." And so he found Krishna. He said, "Why do you have so many nice, beautiful ornaments? Why don't you give me some?" He said, no, my mother will be upset." And the thief, just by the association with Krishna, became his devotee. Mm. So Prabhupada gave that example of approaching Krishna with material desire.
Yeah. What could be worse than like trying to steal something from Krishna directly? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
clarify, if we're really intended to just approach Krishna, even if we have material desires, then what function do the demigods serve?
There's so many people in this world that don't want to be directly connected to Krishna, that are not necessarily wanting spiritual life like that. So he has all these representatives to cater to all those people. So he doesn't have to deal with all the the material desires of all these universe. Okay, thank you all very much.
Have a wonderful day.